Well, my friends, we're going to have a wonderful broadcast today, if I get everything right, and I hope I do. When you're doing all these different things, the sound is giving me a real fit. The sound is giving me a real fit, and I'm not really sure why, but I know it is doing that, and so I'm just going to give it my best and trust that I'll get it straight. Wow. It's wonderful. I really do love it. I love coming to you, not just broadcasting, but telecasting. And I'm trusting that everybody around this great globe are indeed hearing me and being a part of it. Now, today, we've got a subject that could take your breath away. I mean, it's a subject that there's just so little attention being given to. In fact, most people really disagree with me. And they just don't believe it like I believe the Bible says it. And I just believe you go to the Bible and you stay with the Bible. And if the Bible says something, you believe what the Bible says. Now, we're going to talk about the tribulation saints. The tribulation saints in Revelation chapter 7. And they're very pointed. They really are. We're going to talk about these tribulation saints. And we're going to talk about how they are seen now as coming out of the people who missed the pre-tribulation rapture. The church world is in a dire strait. Apostasy has taken dominance from one end of the church world to the other. There's no way to doubt that the church world is under great, great deception. Everything you can imagine as far as doctrines are out there. They're not really believing what this Bible said precisely and exactly like this Bible said it. They just kind of twist doctrines to fit the agenda of those particular believers. And I don't do that. I believe the Bible is infallible. I believe it is literal. I believe you take the whole Bible at face value and you believe it. Now, let me take you to a scripture that's being ignored today by much of the church world. And it's seen in the book of Revelation chapter 3. And it's speaking directly to the church of this age, of this generation. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not, that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. He said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, how can you be more specific than that? That much of the church world is cold and indifferent. There's no fire of the Holy Spirit upon most of the church world. It's just profession. It's just profession without reality, without the mighty move of the Holy Ghost. Well, today we're going to talk about that. And you can call and fuss at me. You can call and ask any question you want to ask. You can send an email, and of course, I'll be delighted to respond. I hope I get the most pointed questions that are possible at this broadcast. If I don't wake up a multitude of people out there who are living so careless and so indifferent to the things of God, if I don't wake you up, if I don't somehow get your attention, if I don't somehow get you in this Bible, just simply believing what this Bible says, then I am going to fail you. And the Lord knows I do not want to fail you. Of all the things and mistakes I make, I don't want to fail people in giving them the truth. I'm just a mailman. And I'm just bringing you the mail from the Heavenly Father, from the book, the Bible. So let's have a great time together. Let me give you our phone numbers to call, 1-800-338-7884. That's toll-free all over America and Canada, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Our local number, 704-391-0588. And the email is jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. I I pray that everything is going out. It looks like to me it is. That's the best I can see. I'm having terrible trouble with sound because there is a tendency, if I share with you in the radio audience, the music that's on the computer, and I don't get that off in time, it creates a problem when the music of the computer comes on. So we'll just bear with that, and we'll get it straight before next week. We shouldn't have any more of it until the end of the program. Now, listen. I want to hear from you. I want your questions. I want your arguments, if you have those. I really do. Pre-tribulation saints that miss the rapture. Pre-tribulation church people. I said that wrong. Pre-tribulation church people that miss the rapture. Our churches are full of people that are cold as they can be. They just sit there and they icebergs as far as spirituality is concerned. There's no moving of the Holy Spirit in their life. There's no richness of God in their life. And these people are going to have to repent and get right with God during the first part of the tribulation period. And then they're going to have to make up the tribulation saints. Make up the tribulation saints. And let me read to you. There's no doubt that here is a multitude of people who are tribulation saints. Now, you can ask any question about Revelation 3 to speaking to the Laodicean church. You can ask about Revelation 7 now that speaks to this multitude of people who missed the rapture, and now they've got to be part of the mid-tribulation, the tribulation saints, I will call them. We don't know that it's mid-tribulation. That's just some people's opinion. Verse 9 of Revelation 7, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all the nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. Now these are tribulation saints. Tribulation saints. And it goes on to say, and I said unto him, sir, wait a minute, let's read verse 13. One of the elders answered him. John is so concerned. I mean, he is saying, who are these? Whence are these? Where did they come from? And one of the elders answered, saying to me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. John didn't know. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, you notice that this is a multitude. Notice this, the scripture makes it very plain, and a great multitude which no man could number. This crowd is bigger, maybe, possibly, than the crowd that go up in the pre-tribulation rapture, at least from the living saints who are now living on the earth, because much of the church world is cold and indifferent. People claim to be ready for the rapture when they don't even care a flip whether they get to church on Sunday or not. The Lord's Day is just another day for picnicking and ball games and every kind of frolic you can imagine. And yet they claim to be ready to go in the rapture. Let me tell you, he's coming after a church without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. That's what the Bible said. Spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. Now let me hear from you. Let me hear your opinion. Let me hear what you're thinking. Let me hear what you are feeling. Let me hear your emotion, will you? I want it to be a great broadcast. Now, let me tell you that the studio camera, I believe, will be up by next Saturday. It's been a real difficulty. I'm not sure why, except everything that could go wrong for the last several weeks has gone wrong as we've been getting ready for these telecasts. And I can expect that because the equipment is incredible. I mean, I've got a great amount of new things that I'm trying to get used to. And the interfacing of my radio equipment with the computer equipment is what's giving me a little difficulty. And I don't know what I may have to do this week, but I got to get it solved because I want this to run smoothly. Now, I want to hear from you. Your audio and video. Let's see what that person is saying to me. If I can get it up close enough here to read. See, when I get my studio camera going, I won't have this difficulty that I'm having right now. So you're going to have to understand that. It will be solved shortly. But let me tell you, Mr. Chambers, in Lower South Carolina area, you are coming in loud and clear. The video is good. And please keep me in your prayers. Thank you. Hey, thank you. That sound good? Wow. I was said you're worrying. Are we coming in clear? How about the radio audience? I hope you're getting me down in South Carolina, Eastern North Carolina, here all over Charlotte, Gastonia. Grab your phone. I want to hear from you. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Now, I want to hear from you. You're very important to me, Reverend Chambers. That's the same one. Let me see if I can find another one here. Yes, this is different. Open Bible Dialogue. All right, you are coming in loud and clear. That's good. That's all I need to know. Hey, let me hear from you. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I want to hear from you. You are important to me. I want us to talk together and have a great broadcast time together. So grab your phone, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. I'm sorry if I get this in front of the camera. I've moved the camera down because I didn't like looking up. I'm not a highbrow, and it looked like I was a highbrow looking up at you. Or maybe I was a lowbrow looking up at you. Now I'm a highbrow looking down at you. I don't know. I'm not trying to be either one. I'm just trying to get this wonderful opportunity right because I want to communicate to all of you radio or internet. God bless your heart. Now, the rejection and even hatred of the pre-trib rapture today has reached such a level that it's amazing to me. And I think one of the reasons is because people don't like anything that demands that they live right, that it demands that they get this world out of them and get their hearts really right with God. And so people are just plain indifferent about all of this, and that breaks my heart. And I'm crying out to you, this broadcast today, the great tribulation saints that come up out of the tribulation. That's Revelation 7. Now, please hear me. Go get your Bible. If you question Brother Chambers, go get your Bible. The tribulation period starts in chapter 6. Jesus begins to open the seals in chapter 6, verse 1. We move on then through chapter 6 and the four horses that go forth, and then some other things that are occurring. And then we come to chapter 7, and we see everything that seems to be put on hold while the 144,000 Jews are sealed with the seal of God in their forehead. And then we see this great multitude of tribulation saints. They've washed their garments in the blood of the Lamb. They're coming up out of the tribulation. A multitude. No man can number. I mean, you're talking about a crowd. Now, my friends, I'm here to tell you, this is serious business. Don't take it lightly. Don't just go and listen to sermons that are always trying to make you feel good and trying to take away any concern you have and trying to give you some kind of false security and false feeling. Listen, if you're not living right, if you're not on fire for God, you're not ready for the rapture. Did you hear me? Go with me to the book of Matthew 25, and I won't turn. I'll just get you to go. And there are 10 virgins. 5 of them are wise, and 5 of them are foolish. They're all virgins. They're all virgins, but 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. The foolish virgins are ready for the wedding except for one thing. There's no oil in their lamp. There's no fire in their vessel. They've let the fire go out. They're neither hot nor cold, just like we have in Revelation 3 that I just read to you. They're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. And he says, I will spew you out of my mouth. That's the Laodicean church. That's the church right now that you and I are part of. Well, I'm not part of it, and I hope you're not part of it. But we are living in the same era and the same period. Laodicean church, cold, indifferent, neither hot nor cold, lukewarm. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Where's he going to spew them? Into the great tribulation. No question. I mean, you can't study the Bible and not really believe that if you believe every word of the Bible. Now, let me hear from you. I want to take your calls. I want your arguments. I want your questions. I want us to have a great time together. I want us to learn some things together that will affect our life, okay? So call me quickly, 1-800-338-7884. I want a lot of calls. I'm having people say to me, I like the calls. Well, I do too. I like to have that give and take with you. I like to hear your argument. I like to look at the scriptures together. Your arguments often will teach me some things that I don't know without you get involved with me and help me, okay? So that's very, very important. Now, I want to go here and make sure I get your... Oh, come on. My mouse has been giving me trouble for a few days. I want to make sure that I don't miss anybody's questions. So grab your phone, okay, and let me hear from you, and I'll see what you're saying. Okay, I'm looking for you right now. I want to hear from you. So grab your phone and let me hear what you are feeling. Okay, let me hear what you're feeling. Let me hear what you are thinking. And I will do my best. I really will do my best to be a blessing to you. That's the only reason I'm here. That's why we do these programs, excuse me, to be a blessing to you and to help you grow in the Bible. Help you grow in the things, help you grow in the things of the Bible. So give me a call. I want to hear from you. You are very, very important. Absolutely very, very important. So I do want to hear from you. My mouse has been giving me trouble for several days, and I thought I had it fixed, but I didn't. And so here I am trying to get over here to get back to my regular emails. All right, let me hear from you. Grab your phone. You are important to me. You are very important to me, and you are on the air, and may I help you, please? Hello, you're on the air. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, how you doing today, Mr. Chambers?
Hey, my friend. How may I help you?
Well, I just had some questions. I seen another guy watching on TV on Channel 14 out of Hickory, I believe. His name is James Chambers. Are y'all related or brothers?
I don't know anything about that, so I wouldn't be able to answer. I'm sure God didn't make two crowds of Chamberses. He wouldn't be that foolish. We probably can somewhere back down the road.
Tabernacle, I believe, what was the name of his church.
Okay, how may I help you with a question on the subject today?
Yeah, okay. I got a real good question. I ain't never really been able to see the pre-trip rapture yet, but you guys pray for the Lord to show me or whatever. But
I can't show you. The Holy Spirit has to show you.
Yeah,
I am convinced.
Pray, Father.
Well, listen to me. Listen. I'm convinced that the reason people don't understand the pre-trib rapture is because they try to study the Bible from a purely secular way. You need to get on your knees before God. The Bible is a great mystery. And when you really begin to understand the revelations of the power of the Scripture, you won't miss this pre-tribulation rapture. It's right there. And so I would say, get yourself closer to God. The Bible is a pure book. And it won't take you long to understand this pre-trib rapture. And if you understand the book of Revelation, order my book called The Masterpiece. It's a book on the book of Revelation. And I make a case for the pre-trib rapture over and over and over in that book. And so that would help you. Would you be willing to read that?
Well, I think I've already got The Masterpiece. I ain't took time out to go through it or nothing. No.
And then you come on, brother. You call me on the radio and don't understand it, and yet you won't even read the material I've sent you.
Well, what it was, the First Thessalonians and the Second Thessalonians, both of them speaks of the church, you know, the catching away of the church, not really rapture. We want to call it rapture, but it's really the catching of the way of the church, you know.
Well, that's what the rapture is, the catching away of the bride.
Yeah, I know, but man put the rapture word to it.
No, the man didn't do that. Man didn't do that. The original language was in Greek. The original language is in Greek. Harpazeo was the word. Harpazeo. That exactly means the rapture. All it is a translation of words from a Greek word that was used in the Bible to an English word that you and I use. Don't we do that with all the Bible? The Bible you've got has been translated to English. So you can't fuss about that, can you?
The demon and devil thing. Now, one preacher told me, say, can you find anywhere in the Bible where it says demon instead of devil?
Well, don't get on that subject today, because I don't want to go there, okay? I want to go there when I'm on that subject.
There's a question, yeah. Between it tells about the rapture in both First Thessalonians and Second.
Well, I can tell you that either one of those chapters wonderfully defends the pre-trib rapture when you understand them. They really do. And you're probably talking about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, that speaks of the great falling away coming and the man of sin being revealed. The man of sin is so evident out there right now, you have to be blind not to see it. He hasn't come in his personality, but he's come in something even more worldwide, and that's the spirit of the Antichrist. It is everywhere.
Yeah.
You would agree with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, then the Antichrist has been revealed in his spirit, not yet revealed in his actual person. So, no question. We are right there ready for Jesus to come. But I love you. Now, you read that book before you call me back, will you? Will you do that for me?
Maybe I can get a chance to read it one of these.
You got plenty of time to read it. You're not old as I am, are you?
I'm 65.
Well, then you're retired.
I'm retired and had to go back to work.
Well, I understand, but you don't work for 40 hours a week. You know how many hours you got in a week? Multiply 24 times 7, and you'll find out you got plenty of time to get in that book and read. And I love you. I love you specially, okay?
Oh, yeah, I love you. I sent you a $35 offer this past week.
You have got to be kidding. Somebody give him a hand. Thank you, sir. God bless your heart, and you're my friend. And I want you to read that book now, the masterpiece.
All right, Lord willing, maybe I can get to read it. All right.
This week. Okay, I love you. I really do love you now. God bless your heart, and you on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. This is Rick Mangum from Rocky, and I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
My church has gone to accepting this homosexuality. And
going to what?
They're trying to say, judge lest you be judged.
Judge not lest you be judged. Have they ever read the scripture where it says to judge righteous judgment? Did you know the Bible teaches us to judge righteous judgment?
I know it said to use spiritual discernment.
It teaches spiritual discernment from one end of that book to the other. Hey, sir, have you got out of that church yet?
Wait.
You haven't got out of it yet? What are you waiting for?
Well, my Sunday school class knows it's wrong, and we're trying to stand up against it and trying to stand strong for the Lord. And I want to know what would be some good ways to respond to these people and to get on the right track.
I would take Romans 1. Romans 1. Now, let me tell everybody, my sound just came on right. That shows that I've had a problem with the sound in my soundboard. Some of the men working on computers went back in my soundboard and dealt with several things and got it off, just not working right. And so that was my problem. I thought I had it working right, but it just came on, and now I have full sound, and I hope it's not too loud. I will cut me down in a moment here because it seems like I'm too loud. But, sir, you have to get out of that kind of situation.
You, okay, so, well, I just thought I'm trying to draft a letter to stand up against it.
But they're not going to pay you no attention. When a church becomes so liberal that they accept homosexuality within the very confines of accepting it as people being Christians who live in that life, they've gone so far, they have become so blasphemous, they have moved so beyond any kind of discernment. You don't have any choice, man, but to get out of there. I hope you'll come be with me Sunday.
Yes, sir. Okay, well, I'm just wanted to try to stand.
Well, you should go to the preacher. Go to him face to face. I wouldn't just get a letter. I'd go straight to him. And I'd say, Pastor, what is wrong with you? Do you understand you're going to answer to God for something like this?
Yes, sir. He's a watchman at the gate. That's in Ezekiel.
No, he's not a watchman. He should be one. A watchman, I mean. He's not a watchman. He's opened the door to anything. So he's not a watchman. You can't be a watchman if you don't close the door to wrong.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so glad you called. My heart hurts for you.
pray for me, because my Sunday school classes knows this. We know it's wrong, and there's a lot of people been in that church for a very long time, and they don't want to leave their home church. But this has just turned us upside down and caused great division in the church, and we're trying to keep it from being taken under like this.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. I do appreciate you calling. And you tell the whole congregation they have to get out, those who really believe the truth. They must have a bunch of liberals there that would be leading this charge. And you cannot be a part of it. I'm telling you, you go to the Bible. Read Romans 1. Would you like for me to read you a verse or two in Romans 1 and just show you how diabolical this idea could be? I mean, it cannot be any worse. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Your church has fallen into Romans 1, verse 28. The preacher, all the leaders who led the way in doing this, it's a dark thing, a very dark thing. And I'm sorry, sir. I hate that would happen to anybody. But it's happening to churches all over America. It's what I'm talking about today when I say the church world as a whole is going to miss the rapture, the pre-trib rapture. And the only choice they'll have is when that tribulation period starts, they're going to have to take it on the chin, take it on their body. They're going to be molested. They're going to be mutilated. They're going to be murdered. It's going to be the ugliest thing that's ever happened to humankind. It's really, Jesus said the Great Tribulation is the greatest, greatest time of tribulation there has ever been, no, nor ever shall be. Those words are in Matthew 24, the very words of Jesus. And so you don't have any choice but get out of that mess.
All right.
I wouldn't go back one time, and they wouldn't get no more of my money.
Yes, sir. Well, I sure appreciate that. And I'm trying to point it out. Say, hey, this is way off base. But I know that them people, I think they've
got callous. Well, yeah, and much of those congregations is going to stay right there and become part of that mess. And the Bible says, come out of it, or else you are partakers of their evil deed.
I've been reading the book of Jude, and it describes my church just like they wormed their way into the church. And they're turning it upside down.
Yes, the book of Jude speaks excellently of that. Okay, now you're gonna get out of that, right?
Yeah, I'm not staying in it. I'm just trying to at least stand up for God.
Well, you do that. Go straight to the pastor. Go straight to those people. Go to church Sunday morning and stand up in front of the whole congregation and tell them what they're doing and how wrong it is. And then when you get through, just say, everybody who believes the Bible and believes the truth, get up with me and let's walk out the door.
All right.
That would be the way to do it. Go in church Sunday morning, stand up in the middle of the morning service, be gentle, be kind, be nice, tell them what they're doing. And tell them, you may have to walk up to the front so they can hear you on the mic. And ask the pastor if you can speak a word that you'll be kind and nice. Don't be ugly. And when you get through saying to those who believe the Bible and agree with the scripture, stand up with me. And then when they stand up, say, now let's go out together. Let's just march out in the name of the Lord.
Okay.
Have you got the courage to do that?
Well, I'm working on it.
You working on it? I understand. Father, help this man to do what we're talking about in the name of Jesus.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I love you, brother.
I love you, too. Thank you.
Oh, well, I'm delighted. God bless your heart. God bless your heart. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Reverend Chambers.
Yes.
I believe, agree with you 100% on this pre-tribulation rapture.
And how about the mid-trib? Not mid-trib. I don't know why I said that. The great tribulation saints that actually go up somewhere near the middle of the tribulation. Do you believe that, as I do, that these are mostly backslid church people sitting around on pews, cold and lukewarm, and many of them just completely gone back to sin? What do you believe about that?
Well, that's my question to you. Are these genuinely saved people that was saved, or are these church members that never was saved?
Well, many of them are church members that never were saved, but many of them are church members who were saved at one time, and maybe you would, I don't know what you do with them. I don't know what you say. I don't know how to describe them. And because our churches are full of people that are just as cold as a cucumber. They don't care whether they go to church on Sunday night or Wednesday night. They are haphazard about the work of God. Many of them have quit paying their tithes. And you can go through the list of things that church people are now doing, claiming to be saved, claiming to be ready for the rapture. And it's impossible to go up in the rapture with known sin in your life.
Well, my question to you now, you were talking about the 10 virgins.
Yes.
The five that started out, the Bible says they was locked out.
They did not go into the marriage supper. They had to get right with God and go up out of the tribulation. That's what I'm saying. Those five went into the tribulation, and then they may get right, or they may not. It'll be up to them. But if you can't live right now, will you be able to live right in the great tribulation?
Well, what I'm saying, it seems to me like they was right at one time. But
they're still virgins, sir.
Yes, sir?
They're still virgins. I think you have to say they are saved, but lukewarm. Just like Jesus said in Matthew 3, you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. Anybody listening to me that used to be on fire, you used to shout and praise God, you'd pray and fast, you'd read your Bible, you were in church every time those doors was open, you loved everything about God, and now you're just kind of hanging on. You are one of those five foolish virgins. You've lost the oil out of your lamp. And you're not going to go in the rapture.
Who are these in chapter 2 of Thessalonians that know the truth but didn't love the truth? And he says he'll send them a stronger delusion, but they might be damned.
You're right. There is several classes in all these people. There are people from every level. And you can't put a description on them that fits all of them. Some of them will never get right with God. Some of them are going to buy into the Antichrist. Some of them are going to do different things. But there will be some of them, a whole group of them. In fact, the Bible says a multitude that no man can number. Some of these will be Muslims that got saved, Hindus that got saved, all the religions of the world. Because once that rapture takes place, it won't be long until all the world is going to know the God of the Bible is the true God. And so people all over this globe are going to start repenting and start getting right with God and dying as martyrs. Every person that gets saved after the rapture, they're going to do their best to martyr them. And very likely they will accomplish that everybody that gets right with God will have to die a martyr.
I always looked at these. You may be right, and I'm not going to argue. I always looked at most of these tribulation saints as people who will be who never heard the gospel or never heard it enough to understand it. It's people that will make their decision the first time then for Christ.
I think you're right. I think there's a multitude of that kind. But I think the biggest multitude is church people who have left the consecration that they used to know. They've left the dedication they used to live. They've left the kind of passion for Christ they used to have. They've left the kind of love for the Bible they used to enjoy. They've just left what it meant to be on fire for God. They're neither hot nor cold. I mean, you can't get it any clearer than what God told us in the book of Revelation 3. They're neither hot nor cold. That means they cannot be unsaved because they're not cold. But they cannot be on fire because they're not hot. They're lukewarm. These are lukewarm Christians who fill our pews. They're careless. They're lazy about the things of God. They no longer love the church with a passion. They no longer love the things of God with a passion. They've cooled off to a slow simmer, and they're going to miss the rapture.
Well, maybe that's the one that, you know, I think it's 1 John said there'll be many ashamed that he's coming.
That's right. The Bible speaks of people who say, "Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Did we do wonderful miracles?" And he's going to say, "I never knew you." Now, when he says, "I never knew you," he's not talking about they've never been saved. He's talking about their acquaintance has been destroyed.
All right, Reverend Chambers, I enjoy listening to you, even though we may not agree on everything.
Well, I think you ought to agree with me.
I
love you. I'm just kidding at you.
I mostly believe that the pre-tribulation saints are people that's mostly the biggest majority of.
Do you go to church today?
Sir?
Do you go to church every Sunday?
Yes, sir.
Or do you watch the congregation? How many of the congregation, where you go, and don't tell me where you go now, how many of the congregation appear to be on fire for God? And how many of them are just sitting there? Church pew warmers?
Well, where I go, we don't have but five people, so I couldn't really give you an estimate of the world.
My gracious. Find you a church with a little bit of attendance. Bless your sweetheart. You're my friend. You know that, don't you?
Well, I speak at this one, and if I didn't speak there, there wouldn't be no church. So
wow. Well, maybe. Well, I let me say no more. I love you. You're my friend, okay?
Well, I love you. I listen to you every week. I don't agree with you 100%, but I don't expect you to agree with me 100%.
No, I guess I don't. I love you. Hello, Pastor Chambers. What do you think of these interfaith prayer services? Would they be lukewarm? What do you think of these interfaith prayer services? Well, I think they all may be different. I would say there are probably some of them that there's some good on-fire people come to them. Maybe not everybody. So I wouldn't judge them one way or the other. I would go to an interfaith prayer service if I had an opportunity. They may not want me there because I'd be pretty outspoken and pretty, I'd be in the middle of it. I would really be in the middle of it. Well, let's take another. I don't understand. The foolish virgins believed that the bridegroom was coming. I thought all we had to do was to believe Jesus to be saved. I like that one. Now, listen to this question. This is really good. I don't understand, he says. Well, I can understand. The foolish virgins believed that the bridegroom was coming. They did. They were looking for him. And the moment they heard that trumpet, they arose from their sleep and started trying to light their lamps. And come to find out, the oil was gone. And they had to run to the other five and say, please lend us some of your oil. And they said, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. Go rather and buy some. Find you some at the marketplace. Like saying, go somewhere and get on your knees and pray through. Well, they went and got some oil and came back. And it was too late. They were thrust into the great tribulation. That's all you can say. That's all you can say. Now, I believe all we had to do was to believe Jesus to be saved. Let me tell you, if all you've got in your life is faith that Jesus was indeed the Son of God, that's all you got. And that's not enough to be saved. It is not believing on Christ. It is believing in Christ that saves you. The world, much of the world, I should say, believes on Christ. But not much of the world truly believes in Christ. The difference is when you surrender to him. The Bible says the devil believes and trembles. Did you know the Bible said that? The devil believes and trembles. Is that a good enough answer? I hope it is. I'm here to tell you, you've got to have more than a confession or a profession would be a better way to say it. You've got to have a possession. You've got to know him. He's got to be in your life. He's got to be in your life. Well, I got so many here, I won't get to all of them. I'll tell you that right now. You are right. My internet is not I can't see. See, I don't have that camera that's over there on the wall. And so I have to sit back here and not be in your face. Let me read it. You're right. People don't want to hear about living right. Can you talk on repentance? What is it? What is repentance? Can you talk on repentance? Why is it important? I'm sorry, that writing is very small. Everybody send me at least a 14 to 16 when you send me an email, because I can't read little writing. I can't read that hardly at all. And I know the gentleman didn't mean to do that. Listen to me. Repentance is turning away from sin. It is changing the direction you're going in. It is totally turning around and going in the right way when you've been going the wrong way. It is not just walking out to the altar and standing there and say, I believe that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Savior. It is not even being baptized. One preacher said, you can be baptized in water till every tadpole calls you brother, and you still can be unsaved. You can shake a preacher's hand until your right elbow scrunches, and you still could be unsaved. That's what an old preacher said. I'm just quoting. God bless you. I'm telling you, you got to turn from your sins. You got to get right with God. You got to sell out to Jesus. You got to pour yourself into this Bible and into the things of God. If Jesus is the Lord of your life and you're full of the fire of God's Spirit, you're ready to go. Now, let me tell you something, and I got more emails than I'll ever get to, and I'm having trouble reading them today, because my sound was so bad at the beginning, it frustrated me. It finally came on. What is amazing to me, I didn't touch a thing when it came on right. I didn't touch a thing. Now, we'll find out what's going on and what's wrong, but I can tell you something in my radio board got messed up in all the process of this new computer and all of it. And I've got too many things to learn to try to clean up all of them. I'm here to tell you, it's amazing to me, but it's exciting. It really is exciting. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will be turned to blood. What a day that's going to be. Then the sign of the coming of the Son of Man. I don't have time to read all of that and try to answer that question. Send me questions that are, you know, just one line, at the most two, because trying to read all of that to you is not easy for you when I'm here talking and trying to keep you, you know, understanding what we're talking about. Let me tell you, friend, this Bible is a pure book. It is just as plain as the nose on your face. All you got to do is read this Bible and spend some time in prayer. And remember, the Bible is a mystery to be discerned by the wisdom and the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Now, something that really got a hold of me this week is Romans 8. And I'll get back to all these questions. Romans 8. Call quickly 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. And let me read to you in Romans 8 and 11. This is very powerful to me, really powerful to me. It says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now listen to me. When the rapture takes place, there will be nothing externally to rapture you. There will be nothing that suddenly happens in the atmosphere that picks you up. There'll be nothing that you can do in your physical flesh to rapture yourself. You are raptured by the Spirit of Him who raised up Christ from the dead. The power of the Holy Spirit. Every person who is caught up in the resurrection or the rapture will be caught up because of the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells and dominates inside of them. If you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit and He rules your life and He has become your master, then you don't have any questions to ask. When the moment that trumpet sounds, you're going to be gone. Because that Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is going to quicken, that means glorify, that means rapture, your body, and you'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. If you have none of the Holy Spirit, if you have none of the Holy Spirit working in you, you're going to miss the rapture. It's just that clear. If you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, the Holy Spirit's fire's gone out. You're just going through the motion. You're doing right. You're living clean. You're living a life that is a virtuous life. You're like one of those five foolish virgins, but you let the oil go out. You let the fire go out, and you're not ready for the rapture. Is that simple enough? Is that simple enough? And that means you're going to have to get right with God during the early part of that tribulation period, and it's going to be hell on earth. It is literally going to be hell on earth. There is no way to describe. Jesus said, there's never been a time like it. You think it's bad now if you lived over in one of those Arab countries where the jihadists are killing people by the thousands? Did you read this week where they're even crucifying some people that claim to be Christians? Crucifying them. Arabs crucifying, jihadists crucifying them. It's going to get worse than that in America after the rapture, friend. You just don't know how bad it's going to get. Now, I got so many here, and let me try to get to another one if I can. Don't want to miss anybody. Here's one here. If someone believes in Jesus and is truly repentant but does not believe in the rapture, will they go up in the rapture anyway? No. That's a good question. The Bible says, unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Unto them that look for Him. Now, you see, if you're not looking for Him, you'll be one of those great tribulation people, because you'll have to repent. I'm telling you, when that rapture takes place and suddenly you realize what has happened and the bride is going to be with Christ, do you understand, my friend? Do you understand how breathtaking that even sounds like? Now, next Saturday, I'm going to do a program with that new camera. I'm claiming that in Jesus' name. I'm tired of all of it. I really am. It's wearing me out. But that's okay. That's okay. I'll make it. But let me tell you, next week, We're going to do a program on the guest at the marriage supper. The guest at the marriage supper. We're going to talk about how many Jews there will be that will be guests of the bridegroom. How many people from the tribulation saints that will be guests of the bride. See, when you miss the pre-trib rapture, you can never be part of the marriage supper, and you can never do anything to live in the city of New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is the location created for the bride of Jesus Christ. The bride. Those that go up in the rapture, whether they are raised from the dead or whether they just simply leave. If he comes in the morning doing preaching, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be gone. I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait. God bless you. If you're not ready, I hope you'll get ready. I wish today, by the Holy Ghost, that hundreds of you, even thousands of you, would fall on your knees and go somewhere and pray till the Spirit of God comes down upon you like a fire from above. Get yourself on fire. Get yourself on fire. I'm telling you, it's later than you think. Are you hearing me? It's later than you think. It's going to be a marvelous day, and I cannot wait until he comes. I cannot wait until he comes. Well, let me see here. I'm missing somebody. I don't want to miss you if possible, and this mouse of mine is acting up today. That's really aggravating. In a time like this, it really is. Now, here's the question. Please let that man know that the church has turned into a secret sinner. Wait a minute. It says secret sensitive church, and they are teaching the New Age inclusive model. The dear man needs to just get out of that church, as it will not be to any good for him to confront the pastor. He will be labeled as a troublemaker, regardless of how long he's been on the church. It doesn't matter. He needs to run out the front door and never look back. Well, that's not bad, Valerie, except I just want him to at least get the rest of those people out of there that will be lost if they stay there. The Bible says, come out of Babylon, lest you be part of their sins. When you are part of Babylon, you are part of their sins. Do you understand that? You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Reverend Chambers.
Yes.
I have a question about forgiveness and the rapture.
Okay.
I have a situation where I'm at high risk of being homeless. I have a sister who lives in a mansion by herself, won't do a thing to help me.
Well, you know, you're getting into a personal matter that I just don't think I should speak to, because I don't know anything about you or your sister. So I stay out of that. You call me personally, and I'll discuss it with you. Give us a call, 1-800-338-7884. Please, I do not get involved in answering questions of that nature, because I don't never met this man, never met his sister. I don't know what it might be, so I stay out of it. I think you would appreciate me for that, because whatever I say, whatever I speak, is not going to be right. And I got to stop a minute. I got to tell you that we are having a great day tomorrow. It's called Academy Sunday. And all of our school children and parents have been invited. We're going to honor those parents who pay extra to get their kids in Christian school when they're already paying taxes for public school. I appreciate Christian school parents. And, of course, the kids will be singing. It's going to be a special morning, and you're welcome. That begins at 10:50 in the morning at Paul Creek Church, right here in Charlotte, 5110 Tucker C.G. Road, and I hope you will come. And then tomorrow night we begin revival with Joey Yates, one of the finest preachers there is right now across the church world. Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, and then Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock. Did you get that? Tomorrow night at 6, Monday through Friday at 7, Joey Yates, marvelous preacher, a Holy Ghost revival. That's what we're praying for. That's what we're believing for. And we would love to have you be part of it. Now, I got to tell you, please listen to me. 1 week away from tomorrow, the beautiful choir that you heard singing at the beginning of this program, I hope you heard them. My sound was doing crazy things. And again, I don't know the answer. It finally came on perfect without me touching a thing. So something is, in my system has kind of got out of kilter here, or something is not meshing perfectly between the new computer and the old system of radio. And we're still doing both radio and computer, and we will continue to do both, by the way. Don't you worry about that. But next Sunday, 1 week from tomorrow, that's the 11th of May, Mother's Day, by the way, we have this great choir from Riverdale Assembly of God in California. You just got to be here that Sunday morning. It starts at 10:50. It'll be some of the best singing you ever heard in your life. And you'll hear them again at the end of this, okay? You'll hear them again at the end of this broadcast. And I want you to be here next Sunday. I really believe we could pack this place out. That's what I'd like to do. What a gift, what a treat to Mama, to bring her. Maybe you live in South Carolina, Virginia, wherever you live. You can get a good room over here at Macratale that's close to us, called the Airport Macratale. Less than $50 a night for a man and his wife, for two people. Children can stay, I think, free, small children. And you would love it. You would love it, and we'd love to have you. So let's have one of the biggest days next Sunday, the 11th of May we've ever had. But let's have a big one tomorrow, and let's have a great revival. I am looking for a great revival. Now, we got others coming in here. Let me see if I can find them. I've not had an easy time in finding everything today because I'm too far away. Last Monday in Charlotte, the first ever lawsuit came on religious grounds to overturn the ban on same-sex marriage was filed by Reverend Godfrey Black, president of the United Church of Christ, and Reverend Nancy Kraft of Holy Trinity Lutheran. Can you believe that Lutherans and Church of Christ sue in Charlotte, North Carolina, because we have a ban on same-sex marriage? They're suing the church. Is suing the secular government. Now, the church, United Church of Christ and the Lutheran Church people are suing the government because we have a ban on same-sex marriage. We're saying in North Carolina by law that the only marriage we recognize is a man and his wife, a woman and her husband. That same-sex marriage is not acceptable in this state. And we have a law forbidding the authorizing of same-sex marriage, and church people are filing a suit against it. Can you believe that? Can you really believe that? Are we living in the last days? Am I telling you the truth when I say those great tribulation saints are going to come out of the church as a whole? That's the kind of church I'm telling you. They're going to be here. Once that rapture takes place, many of those people in that church are going to know they miss it. And I pray they will repent. I really pray that they will repent. Now, we'd love to take some more calls at 1-800-338-7884. I have told nobody what I'm giving you today because I just got too much to tell everything. But I'm giving you a booklet entitled The Tribulation Saints Who Missed the Pre-Tribulation Rapture. A booklet on the same title of this program. So you can share it with your pastor. You can make copies and give them out by the hundreds. You can order two or three if you'll give your pastor one of them. Call quickly. The ladies are standing by. They'll take your call and they'll help you. 1-800-338-7884 or the number 704-391-0588. I put up the first sermon this week on video. You can go and listen to it. The Passion of Heaven for the Lost, a video of a sermon from the sanctuary. Now, this week, it'll be much better. We're going to do some things to make the video a little more personal. We're going to bring everything up closer to you. It'll be very different. The one we put on this week was our trial run. We're learning. We got a lot to learn. I'm learning so much. There's probably not any 38-year-olds out there that can match this 78-year-old when it comes to what I've been learning. And I got a lot to learn, and I'm still making some little boo-boos. And the worst thing I have is when there's a problem, I have trouble in finding the correction for it. It seems like I just can't find it. You're right. Please don't want to hear about people don't want to hear about living right. Can you talk on repentance? Well, I believe I read that earlier. I don't mind talking on repentance. I do it regular. And I'm telling you, the hour is late. Now, you can see our sanctuary behind me. It's a beautiful place. I'd love for you to see it in the morning. Come and be part of the Academy Sunday tomorrow morning, and then come tomorrow evening at 9 for the revival beginning, and then 1 week away on the Sunday following, which is May the 11th, the great choir from Riverdale Assembly of God in California. Wow, we got some exciting things happening around here, and I want you to be part of them. If you're part of a dead church, please don't stay in these churches that are sponsoring. If you're in a Lutheran church, or you're in a Church of Christ, and most of the others are doing the same thing, you need to go ask somebody what your church is doing about it, because I'm telling you, it's coming like a storm. Even Pentecostals, even Southern Baptists are compromising these things. Not everybody, and not all of them, and even those Lutheran churches, those Church of Christ. God's got good people everywhere. He really has. You can't put a label on the right church today. Yeah, there's just no such thing as a label on the right church. All kinds of things are going on under all kinds of names. You just got to find a place that believes that Bible and live by it. Now, do I have another question? I've got time for one or two. 704-391-0588. That's 704-391-2508-2508. I'm sorry. 704-391-0588. I promise you, I'll do my best to answer your question, and I'll do my best to be a blessing. I really will. And next week, with that studio camera, you're going to be thrilled to death. This place will really look like a studio, and it'll make me much more comfortable. And I can get over here in the middle of my desk and have my computer up a little closer to me. And this week, I'm going to get all of my emails enlarged so that my emails are bigger. I've got to do that. I probably could do that right now, but if I go to messing with it, I'll probably make a mess. I have to do things in preparation before it all begins. Now, we'd love to have you tomorrow. I want to promise you something. You'll be blessed if you come. 5110 Tuckasegee. If ever, you've got to get out of that dead church, and you got to get yourself on fire. Get yourself full of the Holy Spirit. You say, Brother Chambers, I don't believe in Pentecostal. You get yourself full of the Holy Spirit. I don't care whether you claim to be Pentecostal or not. If you'll get down and say, Holy Spirit, you rule my life. Holy Spirit, I'm depending on you to be the master over me. And you let God by the Spirit take complete control of your life, and you'll be proud you did, I'm telling you. And you'll be ready when Jesus comes, because he is coming imminently. I said he is coming imminently. I don't know the moment, and I don't know the hour. I just know he's coming, and I want you to be ready. I really want you to be ready. So I'm praying for you. I'm reaching out to you, and I'm determined by the help of God to bring you the truth every Saturday. Now listen, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I want to hear from you. I want you to have every opportunity to answer, ask me any question. I want you to call the ladies and let them send you a free booklet. We'll send you anything we can bless you with. I promise. We are burdened for you. And I'm burdened that the church that's so cold and so indifferent and so unspiritual. If your church is unspiritual and there's no moving of the fire of God in your midst, then most likely everybody in that church is unprepared for the rapture. You're not going in that rapture if you're not on fire for God. I remember a statement I heard years ago. He who is on fire for God is too hot for the devil to handle. That's a good statement. He who is on fire for God is too hot for the devil to handle. Whatever your theology is, get your Bible open, go somewhere and get on your knees, pray till the fire of God is opened in your heart, till God reveals himself to you, till you have an experience with God that floods your soul, and there's a shout that comes over your life. You may not shout like me. You don't have to be as loud as I am. You don't have to run an aisle or dance a jig before the Lord. You can be quieter. That's okay with me, as long as the fire's burning, as long as you're neither hot nor cold, as long as you are not hot or cold, but that you are on fire. I didn't say that right. The Bible said, because you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. As long as you're not lukewarm, I'll be happy and I'll be thrilled. And if I know that I blessed you to get on fire, it will thrill me. Next week, we're going to talk about the guests at the marriage supper. We're going to go into details about the marriage supper. And I want you to get ready to ask questions. And if God helps you this week to find you a place and pray until there's a freshness of the Holy Spirit burning in your life, I want you to call next week and share it with us. Let us know what's happened to you, how God has moved on your life, and how God has set you on fire, and what is happening and taking place in your life, and the move of God that you experienced. I want to hear from you. I really do. I want to hear from you. I want to know that you've been blessed. Now, again, I tell you, Academy Day in the morning. Revival begins tomorrow night. Reverend Joey Yates, one of the best, goes all week. Tomorrow night is 6. All week is 7, Monday through Friday. And then Sunday week, the Riverdale Assembly of God Choir singing, blessing us. I want you to be here. Let's fill the place. Let's fill the place. You'll love that sanctuary behind me. I got the lights on because I want you to get a feel of what it would be like to be in there with us tomorrow, worshiping God and praising him. If you're not a partner, you really ought to be. This ministry is really moving forward. In fact, our emails now that go out are beautiful. You got top of the line. If you don't get our emails every time we do a post, you need to get on the email list. We've got hundreds joining every week, and you can join. We care about you. We love you. God bless you. I'm your friend.